VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. I've got a troubling issue, but we trust that today's program will give hope, hope for you. First of all, the problem. According to a Barna survey collected in 2021, released this spring of 2022, 73% of U.S. parents are concerned about their children's spiritual development. In asking if parents are worried about their children, if they may leave the faith that they were raised in as they grow older and prepare to leave home, the answer was a resounding yes. Some 70% say that they're at least somewhat concerned about their children staying true to their spiritual faith. And just a couple years earlier than that, another survey from Barna indicated that church dropouts are increasing. They reported that at that time, nearly two-thirds of the 18 to 29-year-olds in the U.S. who grew up in the church have withdrawn from church involvement as an adult after being active as a child or as a teenager. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a problem. What's happening? Are there steps that parents can take to keep their children from walking away from God? We're going to be addressing that issue today. It's our privilege to have with us by phone Dr. S.M. Davis. He's a nationally known speaker at churches and conventions, leads the ministry Solve Family Problems, as he gives the biblical solutions to critical family and church problems, as well as to foresee and avoid the problems. He also comes with decades of pastoral ministry. Dr. Davis, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It's a privilege to be with you. I'm excited about this hour.
Well, you speak in many churches and conferences, and I'm confident you've spoken to many parents who are concerned about this issue, a wayward son or daughter. Is this something that you're hearing?
Yes, sir. In fact, it was a year ago that I developed a message just on this topic. I was supposed to speak for the Denver State Homeschool Convention last year, and they specifically asked me to address this issue, and I did a full session out there and dealt with that topic, and now I've been giving that message. I gave it in Pennsylvania this past Sunday night, and I've been giving it this session regularly around the country in churches and conferences and camps and so on.
Well, we're going to be talking about these measures that parents can take today, but before we get to those steps that parents can take, can you help us understand why this is happening? Why are we going through this? Why are so many young people abandoning the faith?
The title of the session that I give is called Steps to Help Youth Not Give Up Hope on God or Life, and in that, I cue in on several problems that are happening that is creating this.
Okay.
One of the biggest of all, brother, is the issue of anger in the Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everywhere I go, I speak on the subject of anger also. And the anger issue is bigger than people know it is, but for all of my life, I have heard preachers, writers, authors speaking, defending anger. And I really believe very strongly, and I think I can show it biblically, that we have to get rid of all the anger out of our homes and our lives. And I know we're not perfect, and I know we can fall back into it again. But there, just like there is such a thing as getting victory over many different things, so that generally speaking, they just don't show up. There is such a thing as getting victory over anger, so that we don't have it coming into our homes. Because honestly, that's all it takes. And there are other problems that are adding to this as well. There's inconsistency in parents. There's parents that are not modeling the right kind of marriages for their children. Mm-hmm. There's poor communication in the homes.
And right, to tell you what, we're going to walk through these steps here momentarily, but one other foundational question here, Dr. Davis, and that is, if you would comment on Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is this a 100% guarantee?
Jim, people interpret that verse differently. My interpretation of that verse is like I interpret certain other verses in Proverbs. There are verses in Proverbs that talk about, I'm trying to remember what that other verse was, but I don't think it's a 100% guarantee. I do believe it is a very strong promise.
Mm-hmm.
That if we will do what we're supposed to do, not do what we should not do, that we can fully expect that our children will follow God. And I really believe we can turn around what's happening if we'll start doing some things that we should be doing and stop doing some of the things that we should not be doing.
Well, today we want to give that hope and want to help parents and certainly to alleviate the number of young people that are going this direction. And you have developed, Dr. Davis, the 7 steps or principles to really guide the home, to guide parents raising their children, and that are designed to keep young people from walking away from the faith, to keep from walking away from God. So let's work through these 7 principles here, and let me have you share the first principle with our listeners.
This is called steps to help youth not give up hope on God or life. And the first one is joyfully and regularly emphasize that God is our creator. And what I'm talking about there, brother, is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you want your child to have wisdom in life, he's got to fear God, which means he's going to have to respect God, which means that he's got to respect the awesomeness of our God as creator. I give this little thing like this. No creation, no God.
Hmm.
No God, no hope. No hope, no purpose. No purpose, no reason to live. And so when we lost the teaching of creation, and when we started excusing our children being taught evolution, we didn't stop and realize we are poisoning their minds and their hearts. That's what we're doing.
I find it very interesting. I mean, Scripture itself says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I mean, that principle really is coupled with that Scripture verse, isn't it?
And that word creator in the Bible, each time it occurs, I studied that years ago, if I remember correctly, each time it occurs, it's in relation to young people. If there's anybody who should not be taught evolution, it is young people. And I heard a pastor just a few months ago, he said, my nephew, after he graduated from Michigan State University, said, I'm not sure there is a God, and if there is, I'm not sure he cares about me. And this was a young man who was raised in church, raised in a Christian home, but they sent him off and paid big money for him to be taught false principles and false ideas. And we've had this false concept that, well, we send our children into schools to be missionaries in those schools. But you don't send a missionary out until he's first trained. You can send Ken Ham into a debate with an evolutionist, but don't send a 10-year-old child into a debate with an evolutionist. He's not been trained to do that yet.
Hmm.
He's not ready for that.
So this matter of recognizing that God is our creator, I mean, this also bears that whole aspect that we have accountability to someone, and this is something that, and responsibility, and this is something that is often a problem with young people. Think, I'm not accountable to anybody. I'm just going to go my own way. But that principle helps recognize the fact that they're accountable to someone.
Yes, sir. The personal responsibility is the bottom line of everything.
Yeah.
And that personal responsibility must be, first of all, to God.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I'm going to have you do, brother, if you would just repeat this. I know some people are taking notes, and they said, boy, that was awful long for me to get down that first principle, so let me have you share it one more time.
Joyfully and regularly emphasize that God is our creator. Parents should all the time be talking about how God has made the sky and the sunsets and the clouds and the air and the birds and the animals and the insects and all of this. They should be regularly talking about that, and don't allow their children to be taught evolution. Don't feel like they have to go to an accredited school. It's not a necessity. You don't ever have to do anything that is going to damage your child. You don't have to do it, and you don't have to think that you have to do it.
Your second step deals with your child's focus. Tell us about it.
Keep your child focused and interested by teaching him what God wants him to learn. Especially make sure that he learns wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is more valuable than gold. Wisdom is more valuable than rubies. And an interesting tidbit here, Jim, is that the first occurrence of wisdom in the Bible, wisdom is not a standalone word. The first occurrence, which helps you understand everywhere else it occurs in the Bible, it is spirit of wisdom. And then in Isaiah 11:2, we're told that we need a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of understanding, a spirit of counsel, a spirit of might, and a spirit of knowledge. And so we not only need wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, and knowledge, we need a spirit of each of those things. And then I define for parents when I speak, I define what all that is. And I tell them, you parents need a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of knowledge to know what subjects their children need to be taught. And I stand when I speak and on this subject, and I hold my hands out. I reach out as far as I can to the left, as far as I can to the right, and I say, from here to here is all the knowledge that everybody in this whole world knows put together. How much does everybody in this room know of that knowledge? And I say it's probably a little tiny sliver,
Yeah. Which
means nobody can learn everything. So we need to really stop and think, what does my child need to learn? Every child needs to learn reading, writing, arithmetic. But after that, is your child really, you should never spend a whole semester teaching a child something that you cannot explain to that child why he is going to need this. Why is he learning this? And is he really interested in this? Is there even a bent this direction? Much of the boredom in our education, in our schools, comes because we're teaching children things that they are not interested in and that they will never, ever use. And we especially should be chewing in on wise principles, because that is going to guide their life.
And folks, it just circles back to that very first principle, because isn't the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? And certainly we see that take place even in remembering that God is our creator. We're talking with Dr. S.M. Davis here today, and certainly that encouragement for the home to keep young people from walking away from the faith. More after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast do stars change from one type of star into another?
Chris, evolutionists are fond of saying that changes in stars take millions of years to occur. But it's important to remember that they've never seen stars do anything for millions of years. And yet sometimes we do see stars undergo dramatic change quickly. Recently, a star was observed to change in only a few years from a white dwarf star about the size of the Earth to a giant star 80 times wider than the Sun, an increase in volume of over 500 million. Evolutionists used to insist that such changes took long periods, but when we see it happen rapidly. Evidently, the biblical doctrine of recent creation of all things is accurate. Back to Genesis, that's the view that fits the facts.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today is one of which is a concern to many a home. What can I do to keep my children from walking away from the faith? And we know ultimately this is their resolve, their decisions that are being made. But what can we do to cultivate our home and to cultivate the training and the bringing up of our young people to walk with God and not to wander away, not to abandon this? We're talking today with Dr. S.M. Davis with a ministry called Solve Family Problems. Matter of fact, their website, solvefamilyproblems.org. SolveFamilyProblems.org. And we're working through seven steps that of principles here for the home, steps in the home to guide parents in raising their children, designed to keep young people from walking away from their faith, to keep them from walking away from God. And we're about ready to enter this third principle here, and we're going to come right back to this topic of anger that you brought up in some of your introductory remarks, Dr. Davis. Tell us about this principle, and how does this matter of anger even enter into this topic?
It is probably the biggest thing that is causing us to lose the next generation, Jim, probably bigger than anything else. And my point is, replace all the anger in your marriage and parenting with kindness and love and joy. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, et cetera, be put away from you. And then the next verse tells you what to put in the place of that, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And I've talked to so many parents having problems with children, and I have to tell them right away, you do not begin by focusing on the child. That is the typical response. They focus on the child's problem. They take the child to the counselor, but that won't work. They start by first dealing with their own anger, then work on their marriage, and by then the problems with the children have either disappeared or at least greatly diminished.
We don't like looking in a mirror on this issue, though, Doctor.
We have to do it. If we don't get the anger out of our families, and I could take time. I don't think we've got time right now for me to really explain why all of man's anger is wrong. And there are two big objections to that. Well, didn't Jesus get angry? And how about God's anger? And then the other is, how about that verse that says, be angry and sin not. And I can answer those. I just don't think I have time to answer those right now. But let me explain how this works. I can take about 60 seconds here and explain why anger destroys the next generation. The parent, in order to deal with the child, gets angry in as he corrects the child. According to Romans 12:19. That anger is not really correction, it is vengeance. The purpose of wrath is vengeance. And so he's not correcting the child, he's carrying out vengeance on the child. That vengeance is unjust. When he tries to do that, the child gets angry back at the parent. The parent then gets more angry to stop the child's anger, and it works. He thinks. In fact, that is the deceptiveness of anger. It seems to work. What he doesn't realize is that it didn't really work. What it did was it created, it stopped the child from his disobedience, but it caused the child to internalize his anger, which then becomes bitterness, bitterness at the parent, bitterness at God, and you can have that child in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you can have them in a Christian school or a home school. You can protect the child from the world. If you got angry with that child's probably going to walk away from you and God one of these days.
Wow. And but when you look at our culture today, Dr. Davis, we are we are just fanning the flames of anger and rebellion. I mean, look what's happening in our streets all across this nation right now. Anger and rebellion are just building and building and building.
It's a huge, huge problem. In fact, there was a group of young people who were interviewed a number of years ago, and they were asked, are you happy with your home life, or do you wish you could change some things about it? And one of the big answers the young people gave was, I wish I could change my daddy being so angry.
Wow.
Or my mom. Over and over and over again, hundreds of times, I have counseled with parents over the last several years. Over and over, I ask the same question. They're having some problems with the child, and my first question is the dad or mom, either one, have a problem with anger? And 95 to 99% of the time, that's it. And I tell them, you can't work on anything else till you deal with the anger. If you have an anger problem and a marriage problem, you can't solve the marriage problem till you solve the anger problem. If you have an anger problem and a parenting problem, you can't solve the parenting problem until you solve the anger problem. You have to start by getting that out and getting kindness and tenderness in the home in a big way.
Okay, so we're holding up that mirror, and it's not dealing right with the child. It's dealing with ourselves. And that third step dealt with this matter of anger. And you're pointing here right to that fourth step, because we know, sadly, there are many broken homes today. There are marriages that are fracturing, and this issue of marriage really enters into your fourth step. Tell us about it.
I say give your children hope for a good marriage by modeling such a marriage before them. One of the main dreams almost every son or daughter out there is dreaming is meeting the right person, marrying them, and spending their life in a truly happy marriage. And I say, when your child looks at dad and mom's marriage, does it give them hope that they can have a truly happy, fulfilling marriage themselves someday? Because really, one of the biggest things that parents teach their children is they teach them about what marriage is, and they teach them that love, what love is, and children don't learn to love by being loved as much as they do by seeing love. So when they watch mom and dad truly in love with each other, and they see them smiling at each other, holding each other's hands, apologizing to each other, yielding their rights with real romance that the child can see mom, and this is wonderful stuff, and it gives the children hope that they can do it so that they can have a good marriage as well.
Well, folks, many wonderful steps here. Dr. S.M. Davis is our guest on Crosstalk, and very practical biblical steps here as far as teaching and training and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's really what we're doing with these steps here. I want to just mention that Dr. S.M. Davis, incidentally, is going to be speaking at Trail Ridge Camp in Hillsboro, Wisconsin, for Family Camp coming up this June 15th through the 18th. And Trail Ridge Camp, a beautiful camp that was acquired by VCY America back just over 20 years ago, ministering to youth, ministering to families. But I just want to make mention that registration is due by June the 1st to register for Family Camp. They do have spots open yet. You can visit trailridge.org, trailridge.org. We're looking here at these steps here to put into our home to actually entice our children not to walk away from the Lord. And we're going to move on to the fifth point here, Dr. Davis, and that is dealing with the matter of communication. We know communication is a major issue in the home today, and this word communication comes into your fifth point.
I say always keep the lines of communication open between you and your child so that some secret doesn't destroy them. A lot of parents think that communication is a lot with little ones, but then as you get older, it can taper off. And the truth is the very opposite of that. There is a little communication you're doing when they're younger, but the older they get, the more you have to deliberately keep the door of communication open and let them know, Let the children know there's nothing that they can't talk to you about, and there is no secret that they can't tell you, and the hammer will not come down if they will just be open and sincere and honest with you. There are so many nightmare stories we've heard where some child has walked away, and after they've walked away, the parent found out there was some kind of a secret. Let me give you just one little tidbit out of this point that I think would help people. Young people don't need Facebook. They need their father. They don't need video games. They need their voice to be heard. They don't need phones. They need families. They don't need TikTok and Twitter. They need to talk to their parents.
Wow.
And I'm not saying they have to get rid of all their computer devices. I'm saying those things can never replace a good relationship with dad and mom.
Wow. Powerful, powerful there about keeping those lines of communication open. And this is something that is often attacked, Dr. Davis, that communication breaks off and then there's a hardness toward one another that just builds, and that anger builds, and everything, you know, boils out of this as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is a big thing. And communication is the lifeline of every relationship.
Yeah.
And if you don't have communication, then the relationship will just die. And then parents, they do the wrong things. When they finally do find out they have a problem with the child, they very often will cut off communication, which will actually make things worse instead of making things better.
In the interest of time, we're going to move on to point number six, and this actually deals with your child's heart.
I love this thought. I would love to spend 30 minutes just talking about this thought. Keep your child's heart. There's nothing more important than keeping your child's heart by continually reminding yourself to smile and listen and praise. Three big words there: smile and listen and praise. And what is the biblical foundation for that? Well, I'm really talking about delighting in your child. In Proverbs 16:15, it says, "In the light of the king's countenance is life." In the light of the dad and mom, they're the king and queen of the home. In the light of their countenance, they give life to their children. And I would ask parents, when you first look at your child, and then over and over when you see them, do you light up? And twice in Proverbs, it talks about a father delighting in his son. So smiling says, your very presence brings joy to my heart. Listening says, you're an important person to me, and I want to hear what you're thinking about. And praise says, your life is significant to God and to me. And I suggest to parents that they put little notes up saying smile and listen and praise. Mm. If there's a parent listening to me and they say, well, I'm not a good smiler, then I would just say to them, then you're not as good a parent as you could be. And you can learn to smile. I have sermons where when I first stand up to speak, I put the word smile right up there in front of me so that I'll remember to smile at people.
Mm.
Because it's easy to not be a smiler. It's easy to be a grouch. It's easy to be negative. That's our nature to be that way. But we can learn to be what we ought to be if we will choose to do so.
We're going to take a quick break here, folks. We have one more step yet to get out, and we'll also be opening up our phone lines in a short while as well. So we hope you'll stay tuned today to Crosstalk. Our guest, Dr. S.M. Davis, back in a minute here on the VCY America Network.
Babylon is mentioned nearly 300 times in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. God's end-time program for Babylon has its roots in the historical account of the Tower of Babel. Their leader Nimrod, whose name means rebellion or revolt, led the people in defiance against God, pursuing what he saw as a new world order. In the book Babylon, the bookends of prophetic history, author Dr. Andy Woods reveals it's not only the old Babylon that pursued such a path,
but believes the scriptural evidence points to the new Babylon that will be rebuilt as the headquarters of the Antichrist, will serve as a political authority over the earth, and the future seat of global religious authority. He examines the scriptures that call for a futuristic, literal Babylon in God's end times program. Copies of Babylon are available for a donation of $16 when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Wonderful steps here to incorporate in our homes, to encourage young people not to walk away from their faith, but to keep the faith. And we're talking with Dr. S.M. Davis here today, nationally known speaker, goes out to churches and conventions. He has a ministry, Solve Family Problems, but certainly giving biblical solutions to critical family and church problems, as well as to be able to foresee the problems and to avoid the problems. And that's part of what we're talking about here today, Dr. Davis, is to foresee and to avoid going down this pathway.
We want to stop this from happening, this
right.
number of our young people walking away. We've got to have the next generation walking with God. If we don't, we're in more trouble in our churches, in our country, than we've ever been before.
Well, Dr. Davis, what is your final step?
My final thought number seven is make your child feel included and important by creating a team spirit in your home. And this thought, I had never given this before, and I was studying, and it was like, wow, this is a powerful, powerful thought. Here's the biblical basis for it. In Genesis 1, God said that man was made to subdue the earth and have dominion over it. And it means to conquer, to bring into subjection. Man was made to be a conqueror, to get involved and succeed at doing something. And so your child is either going to conquer with you on your team, or he's going to leave your team and find some team that will let him do some conquering. That is where gangs have come from in our cities.
Hmm.
And if children are just slave laborers cleaning the house, calls dads the boss, and they're going to walk away someday. No, they need to be on the home team doing things with dad and mom. And dad and mom have to be thinking, we've got to be conquering new worlds, not just guarding our castle. Our children have to be excited about working with dad and mom, doing things in the home together, and whatever he does, dad and mom are praising him for it. They're seeking, as he gets older, they're seeking his input. They're believing in him. They're giving him responsibility, trusting him to do what he can do, and so on. And I can talk more about that, but I'll pause right there, Jim.
Well, Dr. Davis, with all of these steps that you've provided for us, our family's focus really needs to be on the Lord. I mean, this is really critical, is it not?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And as they're serving God together, then it becomes a thing that binds their hearts together
mm-hmm.
in a powerful, powerful way.
Speak to the parent who says, you know, Dr. Davis, I've heard what you said. I really tried to model these things in my home. We tried to practice principles like these, and yet my children have still wandered from the faith. What do you have to say to them?
Well, they may have failed in some areas they don't know they failed in, and it would be a powerful thing if they could find out, if they would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit point out to them where they failed, especially this thing of anger that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And if they will go back and apologize to the child, even after the child is grown, and I've seen Christian parents who are using various verses, and they're doing basically what the Amish do with shunning their children, cutting them off completely. But the communication between the parent and the child who has walked away, that is the child's path back to God and to the parent. So So they've got to keep those lines of communication open. And one of the ways to open them up is by finding out where did I fail and going to the child and saying to the child, you know what? When you were 5 years old, I blew up at you. And that was so wrong. And I remember it. And you remember many more of those. And I want to tell you, it was wrong. And I'm sorry. And I want to ask your forgiveness. And I hope it, you'd be amazed. I spoke at a church and gave a message, and the parents realized we have not done these things right. And they called up their son, and they said, son, we really blew it, and we didn't realize it, but we're calling to tell you we were wrong in this, and we're asking your forgiveness. And they had not talked to him for months.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the phone went silent. And then they heard their 28-year-old son start sobbing on the other end of the line and say, I thought you never would see it. I thought you never would get it. And yes, I forgive you. And I was back at that church just a few months later, and that 28-year-old son came to church that night and said to me, I just want to see the man who helped my parents.
Wow.
Who helped to see. And it wasn't me. It was just truth. You know, it was God's truth, and the people acted on God's truth. And we've got to act on God's truth. That's what we've got to do.
You're talking about having genuine sincerity then, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy will not work. One of the other things that this group of young people said they wish their parents would be is they would be real and not hypocrites.
Wow.
I had a parent come up to me a while back at a meeting and say, I was told that I should never apologize to my children because that shows weakness. And I said, that's wrong. I said, it would take, there are no perfect parents. And therefore, we're going to do something wrong sometime. And if we don't apologize, we're hypocrites. And we're manifesting pride. And before pride comes destruction.
Dr. S.M. Davis, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and maybe you've got a question about something he has said today on the broadcast. Maybe you're going through some issues yourself right now or struggling in one of these areas. Our phone number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Dr. Davis, I know we live in a world that's just filled with despair, and this matter of hope and hope for the Christian family and hope for young people is a really an important matter, isn't it?
Yes, sir. In Psalm 78, 5 and 6, God speaks to four generations. And it says our fathers, their children, children which should be born, and their children. And then it says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So God is emphasizing to us, Jim, that each new generation of children needs a fresh vision of the greatness of God to find hope in God. And you can go through the scriptures and you can see what happens when there is not hope. And we need not, and the Bible teaches 1 Peter 1:3 that God doesn't just want us to have hope, he wants to have a lively, exciting hope as well.
Folks, again, his website, solvefamilyproblems.org. Our lines are packed. Let's begin with David calling in. Hi, David, you're on the air.
Thank you for the great show. I've got four children living for the Lord. The boys are at the VCY camp, but this is an important scripture. My son wrote this in a little book on evangelism when he was seven. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation,
mm-hmm.
through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:15, and also the importance of a godly discipline. And, you know, the Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loves him chastiseth him three times. So
yeah.
God bless you. Love you. There's a good book by Growing Up God's Way by John Stormer, which I had. Powerful. John Stormer. God bless you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Important biblical truths there, Dr. Davis.
Yes, sir. And, you know, one of the mistakes that was made in disciplining children in the past was that people would, they would use their hand or they would use their belt. And the Bible says the whip is for the horse's back. If you're going to chasten a child, then the Bible talks about the rod. It's a little thin limb off the tree. And if you're still using that thing after they're 8 or 9 years of age, you're probably not doing something right. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it, but I see parents who are spanking 15-year-olds, and I say, wait a minute. At 12, Jesus was a young man and was responsible, and if you're doing things, if you're training, if you're not just correcting, you need, it says train, not just correct. If you're training like you need to be training, and you're working with your children like you should be, and you're delighting in them, then you'll be able to drop off a lot of this correction and the discipline. And yes, it's important, but it's not the only thing by any means, and it has to be done properly and has to be done without anger. If you discipline in anger, you're carrying out vengeance on the child.
We've got Maureen calling in from Zanesville, Ohio. Maureen, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Boy, I really appreciate this program. So much wisdom, and the scripture teaches us everything. And there was a lot of anger in me as a mother, and frustration, and a lot of things. And many of my children saw it many times. My oldest son, I know many incidences where I wish I hadn't done what I did or said what I said. And just this past year, I apologized to him. I just knew in my heart I needed to apologize to him for certain incidences, and then just across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not perfect. These things happen. And my amazement, he was in his mid-30s, that it touched his heart, and he almost started crying, and he thanked me. And the irony of this is that he just recently died. Lost him a couple months ago to leave the jab, but then they still don't know for sure. They found him dead in his apartment in Los Angeles, and if I had not done what I did, I would have lived with that.
Wow. Thank you, Maureen, for sharing that. Doctor, very moving testimony.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maureen.
Yes, sir, powerful.
Greg in Tucson, Arizona, you're on the air.
Wow, another extremely important program. Thank you so much. You mentioned the importance of fathers. Have you read any of Christian author Stephen Baskerville's work on fathers and how they are abused, even by Christian organizations?
I'm not familiar with that, Jim. I'll let you respond.
No, not familiar, Greg.
All right. His first landmark book was called Taken into Custody, subtitled The War Against Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, even the Christian church maligns fathers. You go on Mom's Day or Mother's Day or on a Sunday, and she will be appropriately exalted biblically, appropriately. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Father's Day, the fathers will be biblically lectured, though. They will be told how to be a better dad. They will not be exalted. The jails, the America's jails include tons of very good dads who have been thrown into jail wrongly accused. And the non-custodial dad is, extremely maligned. What do you think?
Okay, thank you, Greg, for that. I'm going to, we're up against a break right now, but we'll have him deal with the issue of fatherhood and the importance of fathers in the home. Here after the break. Stay with us. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Many Americans wonder, how is it that communism has been so successful in America, penetrating so many of our government agencies to the point we refer to them now as the deep state? Reality is that Moscow, in 1960, released a document to their comrades worldwide calling for war on the anti-communist groups. anti-communist groups like the John Birch Society and anti-communist individuals like Ronald Reagan or John Wayne. These people were particularly targeted because the communists in Moscow knew they were having great influence. Then the FBI had their hands tied after liberal Frank Church, U.S. Senator, held hearings in 1975 on our intelligence agencies. As a result, the Levy guidelines, named after Attorney General for Gerald Ford, were released that tied the hands of the FBI from investigating the communist.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. S.M. Davis, our guest here today on the broadcast, and his website, solvefamilyproblems.org. Solvefamilyproblems.org. Again, just wanted to make mention that he'll be speaking at Trail Ridge Camp just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin, for our family camp June 15th through the 18th. Registration is necessary by June the 1st. And for more info, visit trailridge.org. That's trailridge.org. Dr. Davis, that caller from Arizona here just moments ago was talking about the role of fathers in the home. And, you know, even if you, you know, primetime media is often making fathers look like a big buffoon in the home today. But there's a real important relationship that needs to be nurtured there as well, is there not?
You know, Jim, the ideal example of a regular human father in the Bible to me was Job. When you see he had 10 grown children and they were, he was saying maybe they've sinned against God in their hearts and he's offering sacrifices for every one of them. If you can, if the sin would only be in the heart, man, I'm telling you, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And how he put his, the Bible says in Job that he put his children about him. And I would really encourage parents that the family meal time is a time every day to have a heart check, to look at your children around the table, smile at them, and see how they are doing. And that is a great thing for a father to lead out, to have his place at the table, hold hands. The three things you do to keep a child's heart: listening, talking, and touching. And you can do all three of those at the table, if you will, on a regular basis, Jim.
Tammy is calling from Missouri. Hi, Tammy. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. My husband, I believe he's an unbeliever. He does profess to be a Christian, but he does have an anger problem. And he does not like authority, so he is not part of the church. I will go with my children, but sometimes my son, he's 15, he stays home with dad. And I'm wondering how, because my son is kind of starting to take after my husband's ways, that I can really protect him and keep him from walking away.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. I'm going to have Dr. Davis comment.
Ma'am, I have a message on my website called How a Wife Can Use Reverence to Build or Save Her Marriage. If reverence is the number one command to wives, many wives think the number one command is to love their husbands, but that's the husband's command to the wife. But the wife's command is to reverence the husband, and it is a really powerful force. And whatever you do, don't ever compare your husband to somebody in church and say, I wish you were like them. Don't ever let your children hear that. What you do is you build up your husband, see every positive thing you possibly can. That is ultimately the way you can win him to Christ and ultimately the way that you can keep your son going the right direction. Wish I had more time, but if you get that DVD.
Okay, and that DVD is on your site?
Yes, sir. It's on my website.
Okay. Again, solvefamilyproblems.org, a message to listen to that goes into more details. George in Olney, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my comment. We've all grown up basically with a double standard. do as I say and not as I do. We see it in our government. We see it, you know, worldwide in the church as far as family goes. We are constantly inundated with two opinions, and God says it's not necessary to lie to your children and tell them the truth. They can handle the truth if you will tell them the truth. To tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Being, again, forthright with integrity is so important, Dr. Davis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to get one last call in. This is Dave in Brookfield. You're on the air, Dave.
Hi, Dr. Davis. Thanks for your wisdom today. My question, well, statement maybe, is that my son, we've been estranged for about a year. I'm retired, so he's out of college and all that. But the bottom line is that he was rebellious from the time he was little. It just got worse over the years, very difficult to raise. And he kind of blames me for everything. So my question is, if it's really, I mean, I wasn't perfect, but if he's looking for an apology from me for things that I didn't really do wrong, in my view, I was just trying to be a godly father and discipline the way he would have me. I'll take your answer off the line, but I'd just like to know what you think. Should I apologize even though I didn't really feel like I did anything wrong?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave, probably what happened back there was some anger in the parenting. And I don't know that for sure, but 95 to 99% of the time there was. And if he walked away, and I go back to what I said originally. I don't know whether you heard the earlier part of the broadcast where I said you must replace all the anger in your marriage and parenting with kindness and love and joy. And anywhere there was anger, it was wrong. Yes, it was wrong. And, yes, you should go back and see when it was and ask forgiveness for it. Only pride would keep you from being reconciled with your son, and pride will stop that. And I would just encourage you. Life is so temporal, and Jim, I hadn't mentioned this, but the solution that many people have found to the anger problem is to get our anger series and watch one video per week for at least 20 weeks with the whole family, and let the word of God wash the anger out of the family's life. I hate to hear stories. About parents who are cut off from their children. I'm about to release a brand new message soon on how to be reconciled to your friend or your enemy. And I'm going to talk about the steps that people can take to truly be reconciled. And we should do that, do whatever we have to do to be reconciled, especially with family members.
Dr. S.M. Davis here, our guest today. Dr. Davis, thank you for sharing wisdom, biblical truth from God's Word here with our listeners today.
Thank you, brother.
And friends, be praying for one another, a very critical issue. And check out the website, solvefamilyproblems.org. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.